When it emerged, digital lending was a wave of disruption in the lending space. It lowered processing costs and increased revenue per loan for lenders and improved customer experience and reduced processing times drastically. In fact, many leading banks have now brought down approval time to 5 minutes and dispersal time down to less than 24 hours. Hello and welcome to another episode of Analytics Insight Podcast, where we dive deep into the latest innovations transforming industries worldwide. And I'm your host, Priya Dialani. Now, lending has undergone a massive transformation in recent years. Now, of course, we would like to give that credit to technological advancements, AI-driven automation, and the rise of embedded finance. Traditional lending models that relied on lengthy paperwork and manual credit assessments are being replaced by smart, fast, and secure digital lending solutions. Now, to discuss this exciting shift and how AI is transforming the lending landscape, we have with us Kanaiya Gautam, Chief Technology Officer at Lendra. Hi, Kanaiya, how are you doing?
Hello, Priya. Good afternoon. I'm doing great. And you rightly said it's a massive digitalization transformation that we are seeing with a wave of a lot of intelligence and AI. So, yeah.
Yeah. Definitely, we are going to dive deeper into these topics and understand more about how these technologies are transforming and, you know, what are probably the future trends we can expect in this space. But before that, I would like to know more about Lendra. If you could, help us and our listeners understand what exactly is Lendra and, what is any specialization or a particular solution the company offers?
Lendra is a new age software product company focused on building a cutting edge lending platform. For our viewers, this platform covers the whole nine yards, starting with a leads system, ending with collections and with loan onboarding, sanctioning, booking of the loan, its disbursement and servicing along the way. And since our humble beginning, our core strength, Priya, has always been in building a very cohesive digitalized lending platform, which is nothing but a composition of many products coalesced together. And our target was, or the goal was, to always ensure a presentless, paperless, and intelligence or ML-based credit decisioning policy, which, as you rightly said in the introduction, the wave that we have seen, which has reduced decisioning times right down to seconds for unsecured lending. So that always has been our goal. And with this approach and target, Lendra was formed as a very, those were our humble beginnings, Priya.
Great. Quite glad to know about Lendra and, of course, how it is at the forefront of, transforming the entire lending process by using some advanced technologies. Having said that, Kanaiya, we would also like to know more about you. How has your journey been till date? What exactly is your role at Lendra, or what triggered your interest at Lendra and your contribution towards the company? We would be more than happy to know about that.
I've always been a technologist at heart since I began my career in 2006. And since then, software engineering, its principles, design, architecture, and coding, they always interested me. I never saw myself doing anything else but coding. I still code to this date. I pair program with my team and do a lot of code reviews day in and day out. Currently, I'm the Chief Technology Officer at Lendra, and I oversee the global technology, engineering, and innovation within the organization. I must say I have been fortunate to be part of such a strong leadership-led dynamic startup, Priya, and doing my small bit in building India's next-gen lending ecosystem, driven by a lot of intelligence. To be very precise, nowadays, Gen AI. My role also includes laying out the technology roadmap, establishing key design architecture and engineering practices, principles to be followed during the entire project lifecycle and the governance of it that gets followed. And there is course correction and continuous learning that happens, especially when it comes to coding and the CI/CD phase, wherein when the coding phase is done, how we build our product, how do we coalesce, connect all the products to finally have the platform deployable, and then how do we deploy it, ensure that it's robust, scalable, and it delights our customers.
That's quite insightful, and it's quite prominent at your role as a CTO has a significant impact on the company's innovation and, of course, the overall growth. So moving ahead, I think, initially we were talking about the lending process. And, I think today banks have never been so diverse in the range and scope of products and services that they offer to customers. Yet they must not lose sight that, lending is critical to their profitability and relevance and is also a foundation to attract and even start deeper relationships with customers. So overall, I think lending kind of acts as a springboard and it allows banks to offer a wider ecosystem of financial and non-financial services. So, initially, of course, I discussed about how, the lending processes or the lending services has evolved in terms of the introduction of technological advancements. But we want to know from you, Kanaya, how do you think that the entire lending landscape has evolved in the recent years? And what role do you think that technology has played in it?
Money is the real currency here. So money has to flow in the system. As a country, India has to grow to $5 trillion and we have some stiff targets by 2047, so 100 years of our independence. For that to happen, for our GDP to grow, money has to flow in the system. So lending is one of the most important and prominent backbones of taking our country ahead. And I'm not only talking about business lending or lending to big conglomerates and SMEs or MSMEs, even lending to right to the marginalized section, people who are kind of hand to mouth on a daily basis, like your food vendor or your vegetable hawker, who have a daily book to run. So from that perspective, ensuring that there is enough money in the ecosystem is very, very important. And the way you get the money pumped within the system to ensure all the sectors get an equal opportunity is by fair lending practices and platforms. Before this digitalization wave, Priya, everything was based on Excel sheets and papers, and it was fraught with a lot of inefficiencies, be it operational or time-based, and many sections of the society were bereft of getting money into their hand and had to rely on other non-traditional means or outside the system means, where they were forced to pay a lot of interest and things like that. But with this wave and some good things done by our central government and Ministry of Technology into ensuring that we have a central KYC now. We have 4 credit bureaus in India. So not only 1 or 2 or 3, but 4, ensuring that the entire length and breadth of industries is covered, right from, as I said, your vegetable vendor or hawker to a big, big company or an organization building India's next port or maybe the defense sector, and so many sectors where you need money. So lending not only happens from bank to a customer, but even within banks, within organizations. So it's a complete channel which has just kind of exploded. And it drives the economic target of what we have set for ourselves and where in this whole world as a country we stand. And especially before a decade and so ago, as I said, a lot of things were done manually. Your land records were not digitized. Your OVDs, original verified verification documents, were not available. But now just have a look at DigiLocker and the India Stack and the CKYC and other services that have been brought the account aggregator ecosystem, which helps an organization like us use our platform and just completely accumulate and aggregate both the asset size and the liability side of the customer, meaning what's my income inflow versus the outflow, what existing loans or credits do I have, or lines of credit do I have, and from which banks, and what's my repayment behavior has been. When it comes to technology, Priya, technology is always an enabler. And to make all of this happen, definitely it has played a pivotal role. So apart from very sound business processes and ensuring the correct checks and balances are present, technology with a lot of artificial intelligence and nowadays the generative AI things that we keep seeing has helped a lot. To take a few examples, we truly embraced the concept of an application programming interface, API, which means now data can be exchanged very freely amongst various technology service providers, OEMs, vendors, banks. Then in terms of secure digitalization, we've also, as part of best industry practices, it's been ensured that whatever data transmits from point A to point B or from source to destination, it's all encrypted, safe, and there aren't actors who can very easily eavesdrop and try to play foul there. And again, to go back to the India stack, it's been one of the most innovative implementations that we as a country have done for a long, long time, wherein as a customer, my entire, based on my consent, and I can actually say no if I want to, but based on my consent, the lenders, banks, and even the fintechs have a very very sound and a good summarized history of my financials and my credit worthiness, given there are so many bureaus that the data gets reported to. So just if I recap the last 5 minutes of my discussion, see, there are so many moving parts here. So digitization of documents, of physical assets, collaterals for secured lending. Then for unsecured lending, having innovative ways of giving surrogates. So for example, if a customer owns a house or a car and things like that, then the concept of adaptive onboarding, how do you compress it down to just mere seconds? So imagine you going to a Reliance store or a Chroma store wanting to buy the latest iPhone, and it taking many hours or more than a day to get an unsecured consumer lending loan, it would be a very bad experience. But the way technology has helped is it has just brought it down from many hours to 7 or 8 odd seconds in which you get to know your credit worthiness and will you get a loan or no, and how much will you get it and how much you'll have to pay. And obviously that entire process just finishes in less than 10 minutes. So you can just go to the shop, pick up over-the-counter durable, a phone or a Bluetooth headset that you want to buy. Or if you want to book a fridge or a washing machine or a TV, you can just buy, get a loan and be out from there. So technology overall, and especially digitalization, has helped to bring all the disparate and heterogeneous parts of this ecosystem together, including banks, which traditionally have been very, very monolith in nature and very, very wary of newer things and innovations. But it's good to see that they are opening up quite a bit. And with the advancement in AI and ML and the system's capability, robotic capability, to identify risks and frauds and veracity of documents, whether forging has been done, the ability to reconcile your name, your address, your phone number across various sources of data that are sourced from, for example, onboarded from your Aadhaar, your bureau report, your telecom provider, and things like that. There are various data sources. So all of that has truly helped revolutionize and democratize lending in India, Priya. And the world has taken a note of it. And with NPCI and UPI, India is at the forefront of payments and credit.
That's a very insightful perspective that you shared, Kanai. And I think you're pretty much right. The days of standing in long queues and filling out stacks of paperwork are quickly becoming obsolete. And, like you mentioned, I think the new cutting edge digital lending platforms have made credit access faster, more accessible, and even more personalized for that matter. But I guess at the heart of this transformation is artificial intelligence and machine learning. The popularity of AI and ML in digital lending is only set to increase. And investing in these technologies, automates compliance and form requirements, which leaves, resources free to focus on more complex business problems. So, how do you think that, AI and machine learning are transforming this lending process? If you could probably, share a couple of examples that, or some real world scenarios you feel that this has actually helped in improving the entire lending process.
So, goal of any new age lending platform is to be presenceless, paperless, and to ensure the credit decisioning is as automated and as straight through as possible. Now, to make all of that happen and to kind of just gather the thoughts together, flowing from the previous conversation we had a few minutes ago. So it's verticalized into different areas or sections. One is the innovation that ML or AI has brought about in the product and the platform. Then innovation and automation that it has brought about in infrastructure. Third is in the operations side of it, that you have a platform which is running, various banks are using it as a SaaS. How do you ensure that it's auto-scalable, it's able to cater to the billions of people that we have in the country, and the credit, ensuring that the credit worthiness and all those data points are and metrics are accounted for before decisioning happens. And then it's also a lot of an extension to the operational side of it. How do you still ensure that there are enough seen and verified documents and applications which are digitalized as part of the loan onboarding and submitted back to the bank, so that at the end of the day, banks in their vault can always maintain digital files for newly onboarded customers with a fully digital filled in application with an innovative biometric or Aadhaar-based signature. So the customer doesn't need to give his or her wet signature on any documents for that matter. Risk and fraud, Priya, becomes very important. Now, in the product innovation that I just spoke at the beginning of this this particular conversation, how has AI and ML helped this industry? So if you remember, we got hit by COVID in 2020, and it was pretty bad. All of us were scared. No one really knew how things are going to pan out and what impact it will have. But we all knew that it's going to be bad to some extent, and it's going to take time for the economy, for people and for everyone to come out of it. In that phase, imagine a new adult wanting or a student wanting to open up a bank account or get a loan with so many restrictions in place, and you not being able to travel, even get outside of your apartment or your flat. What eased out this entire process was, for example, video KYC. So a lot of innovation was brought in wherein you could, from the comfort of your home, and when offices began trickling their operations just after the waves of COVID were over, so from your home or office, you could actually talk to a bank agent, and the agent can do a very seamless and real-time verification of your KYC credentials, including PAN. Then your life face capture can be matched with the photo that you had on your PAN and on your Aadhaar and things like that. So video KYC helped a lot, and that was the golden ticket to saving and ensuring that money was being circulated in the system. Same way for business lending, having personal discussions with the merchants, ensuring that as part of this live interaction, a video call interaction, the system is capable of capturing images of the shop or the go down, and ensuring that it assesses and is able to estimate what kind of inventory a merchant is carrying with themselves, and what credit worthiness they have, and what kind of loan a bank can give. Over the course of the last decade, massive innovation has happened in credit risk modeling. So credit risk modeling is nothing but ensuring whether to give a customer or whether the customer is eligible to get a loan is creditworthy. The system and the bank has confidence that the customer will pay back and perhaps not default. So this entire thing is called as credit risk modeling. So a lot of focus over the period of years has been in classification and predictive modeling of the risk aspect of giving a credit versus not. And in this, a few examples that come to mind are, as I mentioned, the risk and fraud checks of documents, ensuring you triangulate the same data like the name, the date of birth, the mobile phone, the various addresses, permanent address, current address, resident residence address. So you'll get one set from the bureau, the other set from the bank if it's an existing customer. Then the other set you may get from telecom provider, from your gas provider, or any of your utility providers, or from your passport, or any of your OVD documents. So ensuring you triangulate and reconcile and ensure there is no scope, or the scope of fraud is minimalized as much as possible. So these are few of the ways that machine learning and AI has really helped prop up the entire lending landscape to a great extent, help Lendra, us as an organization, stay true to our motto of being presence-less and paperless and having as much automated straight-through processing of credit decisioning as possible. Obviously, you'll have certain boundary conditions wherein you may not want to go ahead with what decision a system has taken, and perhaps an underwriter manually eyeballing the loan application and checking the various parameters about the customer and the specs of the loan and what kind of lending product it is, so on and so forth. And very recently, what has happened is with Gen AI becoming so prominent and actual objective use cases coming within the BFSI industry. Few of them I already explained that we started following from the COVID period. But for example, consider an address of the customer. Now, why is the address so important? A, it's to identify that, yes, a customer lives at this address. B, is reachable. C, in case if it's a collateral-based loan, someone can actually go talk to the customer if there is a default or if there is a probability of fraud. Is the address reachable? Can the system triangulate the address? Do you really have the mentioned apartment or the shop on that said address? So a lot of innovation has also happened on that front. The large language models, they really very seamlessly and very easily let you gauge the quality of the address basis whether it's a tier one city, tier two city, it's a village or it's a small tehsil, so on and so forth. Then the propensity of the customers to default. Then what's the migrancy of the customer? So for example, if a customer in the last 9 or 12 months has changed their addresses 4-5 times, and it just happens to be a different state every time, and it's a big red flag. And then you just gather thousands of attributes that the system has to, like, in sub-second go over, and a lot of variables are derived from the point of sale data that you capture about the customer, the bureau report that you get of the customer, to actually run it through a set of eligibility grids, then some custom scoring, finally to arrive at a credit decision. So with AA, the account aggregator, we have seen a lot of innovative adoption into merging and combining the assets and liabilities side of data. So when I talk about liabilities, it's your current and savings account. So your bank statement, its analysis. If you say that you're a salaried customer, okay, you're getting your salary. If you say it's a cell phone business, okay, there is inflow of money, then there is GST payment or self-assessment tax payment happening every quarter and things like that. So the entire financial health analysis of a customer is at the platform's or the system's fingertip. And it helps underwriters and the credit risk team or the credit underwriting team really automate and just design a lot of straight-through processing workflows for the complex of loans. So all in all, AI, then ML, which is a subset of AI, and very recently, the ability of a large language model to play the role of a generative AI has helped a lot. And to just take this to logical conclusion, apart from product innovation, if I just talk about the innovation in the infrastructure, the security, and people who are developers who actually the code and build the product and the platform, there has been a massive push in developer productivity, Priya. And trust me when I say that, because there are intelligent ways of doing automatic code reviews, which can pivot or pin the coding styles to how you configure or train the model. And now models have capability to prescribe that, hey, you shouldn't write code this way, but this is an alternative and a better way to write code, or your code has so many bugs, so which are classified as security bugs or bugs in the logic that you were trying or you have written basis what the expected outcome was. So it's the ratification that happens. Now, when it comes to infrastructure, security being the most important thing, ML has also opened up frontiers into 24/7 security posture monitoring of the entire infrastructure, be it on a public cloud or a private cloud, a data center, which the bank has built of its own, so on and so forth. So AI ML is ubiquitous across every aspect, every department of any organization for that matter, Priya, not just a software product company or a fintech or a bank. And it's massively helping banks, which are still following very old, traditional and monolithic processes, to migrate towards the concept of banking as a service and neo-banking, wherein it's a very hyper-personalized and a customized offering that they are able to give different categories or different buckets of their customers, Priya.
Right. I think that definitely, you know, makes a lot of sense when we are talking about, you know, artificial intelligence and machine learning. And it's, of course, incredible to see how these technologies are not only speeding up the decision making, but they're kind of also making lending more inclusive by just analyzing a lot of data. So that definitely makes a lot of sense. And of course, it's also fascinating to see that lending is no longer just, you know, restricted to banks. I think businesses across industries are now incorporating cutting edge lending solutions to serve their customers even better. So one last question for you, Kanaya. How do you see the future of digital lending, or what are some trends do you think will you know take over the digital lending landscape in the coming 5 years?
Well, future is embedded finance that we just spoke about, and a very intelligent one, and banking as a service and neo banking, Priya. So we see so many branch based operations happening. I'll just take a very small example. So I have a joint account with my father. Despite of Aadhaar-based onboarding and verification process, so for example, if you want to open up a DMAT account with Zerodha or Grow, or even if you want to invest in cryptocurrency, so if you want to open up an account with Binance or any of the bigger names there, Aadhaar-based onboarding is such a sleek and a seamless thing, so you don't have to go anywhere. But if you apparently have a joint account, you have to go and fill in physical forms and papers and get the KYC, that annual or once in 2 years KYC done. And this is one of the bigger private banks that I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a small bank. And as we were discussing, Priya, a few minutes ago, lending is not only restricted to big banks. You have small finance banks, you have NBFCs. So there are various institutions who are capable of lending. And RBI actually streamlining very securely and very responsibly streamlining and ensuring that there are enough lenders in the market. So the big shift that is happening in the industry, Priya, is how do you now make sure that amongst so many players, so many lenders, you democratize it as much as possible? So for example, the customer is empowered. So as an end customer, me wanting a loan, I can just actually go to a marketplace and say that, hey, I want a personal loan or take a home loan. Can I go to a portal and just express my interest and get the best interest rates and the best lenders out there from that basket? Then I can choose which bank to go with. And the way to this, foster this innovation, as I said earlier in our earlier part of conversation, was neobanking and banking as a service. So truly understanding the need to break the monolith that for me to get a loan from a bank, I necessarily don't need to have a savings account with them or even a current account or an FD or any sort of association. So given that need and understanding, and a lot of disruptive innovation is happening when it comes to ensuring. See, there are very disruptive startups which their only business is to get customers as leads, as eligible and pre-qualified leads for the various banks to then lend to. Now, how is this possible? This is only possible with embedded finance, which means banking as a service and neobanking as at the forefront are ensuring that all the financial institutions, be it fully licensed banks, small credit finance banks or NBFCs, their entire banking and lending system in a very sandboxed manner is available as APIs, which means these innovative startups can very quickly make a call to an API with the payload, with an input data saying that, hey, customer name is this. This is the data that I've gathered about the customer. And I was lucky enough to do some pre-eligibility as well and things like that. And customer also has enriched their profile on our platform saying, oh, they own a house or they own some physical collateral or non-physical on that front, and they have consented and they have expressed interest in a personal loan. So this is where the industry at large, Priya, is moving, and give and take 4 or 5 years. So I'll also touch base on the technology part of it, where we are heading to. But as a product, as a domain, where lending is heading to is an absolute a hyper automated and a straight through way of ensuring and assessing a customer or a business's or an organization's credit worthiness basis so many digital data attributes that the system can get, and the pace at which it is increasing is very, very rapid. So as I said, there are thousands and thousands of attributes even about a salaried, a simple salaried individual, that banks are able to make a very sound decision on by investing in behavioral analytics and doing a lot of portfolio analysis and things to that effect. And with GenAI, the reinforcement learning and the way how you tie things together, the way GenAI will enable you to build a very hyper-localized industry-wide model on which you can actually train that entire model with thousands of different credit policies that you have, which would have various credit rules, various eligibility criteria, so many variables that are created from point of sale and bureau data. That model, after a couple of years or 3 or 4 years, give and take, or even after 12 months, we may so have a model, if the economies of scale of the very expensive LLM, GenAI hardware, once it eases out, I'll not be surprised if we as an organization, Lentra, and the wider industry, all of us have our hyper-personalized and localized models to which the credit underwriters could just speak and converse with and say that, hey, please create a credit policy for a personal loan for salaried individual with a credit bureau score of greater than 750 or 700 with a straight through approval. Nothing more, nothing less. And the system will just take that voice input, just natural language process it, and create a credit policy on the fly, give it to you, show it to you as a directed acyclic graph, tell you exactly what eligibility criteria it will have, what credit rules or deviations that it will have, and what custom scoring it will have. So by and large, Priya, to summarize, the industry is moving towards banking as a service and neo-banking with a very high high focus on embedded finance. So banks will have a lot of startups that they will partner with, and they've already started doing. So a lot of innovation is happening. In terms of technology, as I mentioned, productivity will just go to the next orbit. And the way in which we can ensure that only the best possible design and architecture and code goes to the production, which is completely secure. And there's a lot of learning loop back to the developers that the system can provide. So in no way I'm saying that the GenAI or the LLMs would take control of everything, but a software engineer going forward will find it very, very helpful and easy to use GenAI to perform the complex, the most complex of tasks they otherwise take a lot of time performing. So it would be an adjuvant helper or a bot that GenAI will be to all the software engineers, and it will help them just polish themselves a lot and ensure that they are very fast and they deliver quality code, which ensures a very robust and performing product and platform, which at the end of the day is innovative and delights the customers.
Right. I think the future or the evolution of digital lending is you know, marked by a shift that is driven towards more personalized experiences, automation, and of course, human-centric innovations. The lenders that succeed in this new era are those that would actually embrace these technological advancement and will definitely prioritize the needs of their customers. Well, thank you so much, Kanaya. It was an insightful, packed discussion, and I'm sure our listeners have loved knowing and understanding that AI and digital technologies are not just changing the lending landscape, but it's kind of redefining how financial services operate altogether. So thank you so much for your time and effort, and I'm sure our listeners loved our conversation.
Thanks a lot, Priya, for having me on the podcast. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Kanaya. And this is for our listeners. I hope you enjoyed today's discussion, and don't forget to subscribe to our channel at Spotify. And definitely you can view all our previous podcasts on Spotify and the leading platforms. Thank you so much.